Welcome to the AES Journal podcast for January and February of 2019. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. This is our first issue of the new year, and it opens with a message from the incoming AES president, Nadja Walaszkiewicz. In her message, Nadja summarizes early experiences of joining the society and the way it affected her professional life. She emphasizes the way in which AES is embracing new fields such as games, VR, and automotive audio, among others, and welcomes readers to remain connected and participate in what's going on. This edition of the journal opens with a letter to the editor from emeritus professor and psychoacoustics expert Jens Blauert, in which he discusses the assessment of acoustical quality. Blauert points out that judgments of such quality are usually made by listeners with respect to hidden references that exist in their minds. He attempts a classification of the concepts involved at different degrees of abstraction, and concludes that by proposing that acoustical consultants extend their approach to design from architectural acoustics to aural architecture. Hyung-Kuk Lee, recently awarded the AES Fellowship, looks into the capturing of 360-degree audio using an equal-segment microphone array. Hyung-Kuk will also feature as the interviewee for March's Journal Spotlight video. In his paper, he describes experiments that were designed to evaluate different spacings of a quadraphonic cardioid array, looking at the trade-off between interchannel time and level difference for different psychoacoustic models. He finds that a 50-centimeter spacing, based on a model optimized for a 90-degree loudspeaker angle, produced more accurate results than others. There's a fascinating paper to follow on classifying potentially hazardous sound events, written by Stelios Mytilenios and his colleagues. The suggestion is that an efficient means for doing this using wireless acoustic sensor networks could help preserve cultural heritage artifacts and architectural sites. A major problem is that sounds gathered in such contexts have quite a lot of background noise. So the authors looked at gathering data from a number of neural network classifiers based on fusion or ensemble learning techniques. Under a wide range of noise conditions, including negative signal-to-noise ratios, the approach appeared to be considerably more accurate than each classifier alone, or their average. Matthias Brandt, Simon Doslow, and Jörg Bitzer go on to talk about a new automatic method for the detection of noise disturbances in archive recordings. The quality of such recordings can be degraded by various noises, but somehow it's necessary to distinguish between those that have a technical origin and those that have an acoustic origin and are part of the recording. Estimating the power spectral density of the noise is a common way to go about this, and here the authors present a novel algorithm that does this more reliably than other state-of-the-art approaches. It has the benefit of not requiring user intervention, and could form part of a fully automatic broadband noise restoration system for archives. If you've ever wondered how to detect gunshots in recordings of wild elephant poaching activities, then a paper by Martin Rabina and Mylan Sigmund may be for you. They introduce a database of audio events captured in the wild in which there are gunshots and other local noises and proceed to detect the gunshots using four basic feature sets. Some of the recordings are available for download, and others can be had from the authors themselves. An engineering report on predictive sound quality models wraps up the front section of this journal. Andy Pierce and three co-workers discuss methods of assessing the rank order of quality predictions from such models, taking into account the variance of listening test data. They go on to look at the performance of selected metrics against real listening test data using industry standard prediction models. Among other topics covered in Standards News this month, there's a detailed report on a recent meeting of a working group on measurement and equalization of sound systems in rooms, convened by Peter Mapp at the New York Convention. You'll also find updates on the work of groups dealing with digital interfaces and audio connectors. Francis Rumsey's feature article concentrates on papers that were presented at the 145th convention dealing with the quantification of recording techniques. "We are in a time," Rumsey says, "when machines are increasingly being taught to undertake work that was previously the domain of humans. This may mean picking apart human perceptual and creative processes in a way that enables them to be taught to, or built into, forms of display or control that machines can mediate." We also offer a warm recollection of the life of Bob Schuline, who died recently at the age of 77. Written by his colleague Dan Mapes Reardon, with contributions from Bill Bevan, Steve Yulstrom, Heather Schuline Davis, and Michael Santucci, This obituary tracks Schuline's life in audio and his work for the AES in many varied roles. They conclude that Bob will be long remembered as a friend, mentor, colleague, organizer, and prolific inventor with boundless energy. In addition, there are calls for contributions to the 147th convention to be held in New York later this year, and the recently announced conference on automotive audio to be held in Germany in September. Although they're both a way off, it's time to start thinking about promoting your work in the form of a paper, an engineering brief, or perhaps even a workshop. You'll find all this, plus our regular news of new products and section activities, in the January and February combined edition of the AES Journal, available for download today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.